The list of accolades for our next guest is probably as long as my arm, and deservedly so. Her debut album, The Return, picked up a swag of ARIA awards, including Best Hip Hop Release, Best Independent Release, and Best Female Artist. She also took out the prestigious Australian Music Prize, making her the first artist in history to win the award twice, having previously won for the mixtape Birds and the B9. Sampa the Great has become one of our most beloved and respected artists, with good reason. Her music is brilliant, forward-thinking and challenging, mining questions of identity and what it means to exist in so-called Australia and beyond. She'll be bringing her long-awaited show, An Afro Future, to Vivid Sydney, and we're so excited to chat about how it all came together. Welcome, Sampa the Great, to the Tuck Shop.
Hello.
Hello. It's such a pleasure to talk to you today. Of course, this show has been delayed and because of the damn pandemic, but we're very excited that hopefully it'll definitely happen, right? On Friday night at the Opera House, Vivid, we'll be having Afro Future live. It's going to be so exciting.
100%. 100%.
How has the show changed and developed over this time? Because, of course, it was supposed to be originally last year and obviously everything's been delayed. How has the show changed from what it was originally going to be?
It's pretty much sort of the same foundation as what we had last time. I definitely wanted to bring different elements of myself that I don't think I've brought to my live shows. I love the art of dance. I love visuals. I love, you know, bringing that world together and creating an experience for people live. So it still follows the same foundations, and it's still the same people who were going to be involved in the last ones. I think we just picked up from where we left off and just hoped that it would happen this year. And luckily it is.
Can you talk us through where the seed of the idea of the show came from, how you came up with the idea and how it was constructed?
I guess it's in the shows that we've done over the course of time and just being like, wow, there's certain elements that people don't get to see of me. We'd go on tour and put some videos up of us backstage and we're dancing, having a ball, and people are like, wait, how come we don't see this bit on stage? How come we don't see this element? And I'm like, yeah, like I love all these facets of myself. And, you know, surprisingly, I don't imagine that I don't show all of them on stage. And it just became a continued conversation of how do we want to, you know, create a better live experience for people. I've never been the one to perform what you hear on tracks. I always want to bring you into a new world or showcase music in a different way than you've listened to it, you know, on iTunes or on the tracks. So it was definitely something to bring all these elements together in one. And also under the banner of showing our culture and showing our music to people, just unfiltered and not limited in all its aspects. And it was even better that, you know, we're showcasing music that I've made at home over the course of this pandemic. And it just brought everything together and, you know, and just encouraged us to show full spectrum of ourselves and where we're from without any fear of whoever watches it. And so we named it the Afro Future, and hopefully it's one of many Afro Futures.
Afrofuturism is a concept that goes back a long way in culture. Can you talk about what that concept means for you?
For me, obviously learned the term coined by Sun Ra, and it's just it was never something consciously that I would do with my art. I'd always love to showcase where I'm from and showcase how far we could take our music and our art without it being what people thought was African music or African art. And the concept of it not having any limits to me was what drew me to Afrofuturism. And I guess I've just carried it throughout my art, now consciously knowing that this is something that has been thought about before, and this is a concept that has been birthed before, and finding out how to grow it in my lens as an African artist. At home on the continent as well, and working with young African artists and seeing how far we can push our art without any limits on where the art is created and who views the art.
Well, here in Australia, we've seen you with a band before, but not quite as big as I'm sure this show is going to be. And also, your family's always been a tight part of your band, and particularly your sister, Mwanje, who's released some amazing music herself. What's it like traveling and performing with family? Do you ever have, you know, family moments, sibling rivalry, all those sort of things?
I've been performing with Mwanje for a long time, even out of the lens of you know, the professional business. It's us performing at home for our parents, for our family. It's always been a thing, and I think this is just it being done professionally. 100% family moments, 100% Mwanje knows best on what to do on stage than Sampa. And that's what makes it fun. You know, I'm doing something I love with the people that I love. And it's a full 360 thing, from performing in front of our parents to performing live in front of an audience and just doing that together.
Did you used to have little concerts at home? Is that what you did in front of the parents?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, how we annoyed our parents so much. It's like, okay, after dinner, we're going to perform in the sitting room, you know, and we do our little performance and we're done. And it's like full on breath mode. Somebody clap for us. This was excellent. And luckily, they were so encouraging. They were so encouraging and just, you know, pushed us to be creative and express ourselves. I don't think anyone would have, you know, foreseen this future for us, even though they were encouraging. But it was just always something that we did.
Oh, fantastic. What a show that would have been. and at this show, you've got Mwanje, of course, with you playing her, I presume her solo music as well. And Kai and Seafrim, which not too many people might have seen some of these artists before on the big stage. It's going to be exciting to have them there.
100%. And these are also artists who, you know, in their own right, have pushed their own music and redefined what that music means to them. I mean, Kai being a pop artist, a genre not particularly known to have a lot of Black artists, but is a genre that Black artists thrive in as well, is something that drew me to be sort of a young mentor to Kai and encourage her to, you know, just pave her own way as well, because she's not, you know, there are a lot of artists who are in genres that are not particularly seen as Black music, but they redefine it well. And the same with Mwanje as well in Seafrim, is just seeing artists who, you know, are confident and comfortable in their own skin and who, you know, inspire you to do the same, for me was definitely something that I wanted added to the Afro future.
You mentioned before that you went and lived in Africa during the pandemic. What was that like, and what impact did that have on your work and on creativity and also on this show?
I lived in Zambia for the past 2 years. I obviously came home. My dad got COVID and it was just like, okay, this is real. I went home to check on my family, make sure everyone's okay. And I couldn't get back into Australia. So it was one of those things where it was like, okay, here is where I am. I can't control what's happening on the other end. So how do I make the best of this time now? And it's, you know, I've never been Sampa the Great in my own country. It's never been a thing for me. My career started off in Australia and everything sort of grew overseas. So people at home have never had a chance to see Sampa the Great, the artist. And I thought, you know, what an opportunity to now work with artists from home, hone into, you know, where I'm from, and also just complete a lot of the doubts and the fears of being a person who was raised in a different country from where they're born, and answer some of those unanswered questions and fill that gap, you know, of longing. And those 2 years did that for me very well, and healed a lot of wounds as well, and just birthed new music and a new project that I'm really excited to share as well.
You've spent the last couple of years, of course, working on new music, as you just mentioned. What can you tell us about the new direction? Where the new music is going to take us?
It's a lot of different things. Obviously, I've never just done hip hop alone before, so I'm really excited of the fusion of a lot of the inspirations of music that I have, but also just, you know, the music that I made prior, the Return DB9 and so on, were recreations of sounds and songs that I heard at home versus actually going home and working with people who've heard those sounds before, you know, heard those sounds growing up. So it wasn't necessarily recreating it. It was just, you know, creating a new take on songs that we all know and love. So it's definitely something that we'd like to call hybrid music, which is a fusion of a lot of music we grew up on, but also I think of a fresher and freer take on my music as well. You know, my music is always inspired by where I am, and the Return was very needed, but also very heavy. And obviously made in Australia at a time where a lot of, you know, Black artists were expressing ourselves and coming to the forefront of hip hop music, and the music required that. But now, you know, being home, being at a point where I'm surrounded by my peoples and we're creating music that we love and grew up on, it's sort of a freer take on the music. And I think people will hear a lot of that in the new music.
We've had a little taste, of course, of new music with Lane, where you teamed up with Denzel Curry, a fantastic track. Having the two of you on there, I think Australia loves Denzel as well as yourself. And it's, so to have you both on one track together, everyone's mind was blown. can you tell us about that track and sort of how it came together? Yeah. And we'll play it during this interview.
Actually, that track came about very early in the pandemic. It was sent to me by Powers, who's the producer of the track. And, you know, when I heard it, I was like, yo, I've never done music like this before. This is very interesting. But it wasn't just a trap sound. It was a mesh of different sounds. And everyone knows that I love music that does that. So it just hit me like, I've never made music like this. This is dope. This is fun. Let me see what I can do on it. And, you know, it birthed what was Lane. And the topics in the song are definitely, you know, being an artist who isn't just into one thing and doesn't like to be boxed into one thing. I think it's very detrimental to artists when they're put into a box of creation. And that's just not the artist that I am. And I think the conversation continued on with Denzel. I mean, I had met him earlier on. I think he did Listen Out. And I also did a version with him. And I was just like, oh, you know, this dude is wild.
Sure is.
But he was really dope and he was really funny. And I think, you know, when he did his Rage Against the Machine cover, I was like, yo, here's an artist who has a lot of range, which I love, because, you know, he loves hip hop, he loves rock, he loves anime. Just like, you are the full spectrum of who you are as a human being, and you're not limited, you know, with what you're supposed to be, quote unquote. And I love that so much about him. And, you know, we discussed Lane and we discussed the topics around it. We discussed the underrated term, you know, and that's like, okay, to who? Like, who are you? Who deems you underrated? Do you value your music and your art? And it just stemmed, like, a lot of great topics stem from that. And, you know, I sent him the song and I explained it, and he was like, yo, I'm down to make music. And we're like, okay, cool. This is amazing. And at that time I was in South Africa and again working with creators from home, and stumbled across Rara Nimbad and Imran Christian, who are amazing directors. And they were like, yo, we want to expand what we do visually, especially, like, you know, art that comes from the continent and what people don't expect to come from Africa. And I was like, yo, that's my same train of thought. There's this song with Denzel. I think it will be really awesome because it's kind of speaking to the same thing. Like, we're giving you art that you wouldn't expect to come from an artist. And yeah, we all teamed up on that and created Lane, the music and the visual.
We've spoken to a lot of artists over the last few months that say that COVID, for all of its heaviness and awfulness for the music industry, has actually given them time to pause and reflect and consider their career. Has that been your experience at all during the last few years?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it was at a point where artists were getting shows canceled, festivals canceled, and it was just like, okay, this thing that we fought to do that's not even conventional is literally slipping out of our hands. What do we do with our lives now? It was a very deep time, a very saddened time, very anxious time. And I think it still is as we're trying to get back to everything. But it definitely redirected a lot of things and had us think about, you know, this passion that we fight so much for that has become our jobs and how easily it can be taken away from us. Not that there was a solution to, you know, that question, but it's, you know, it takes you back to why you started making music in the first place. And, you know, the answer of it all being, it's not really a choice on my end. Like, it's not really something I can say I can't do anymore. Even if it gives me income or not, it's just not an option to not do music, because it did start up as therapy for me and a way to deal with life. And it still will be that way for me as well. But definitely did halt a lot of things, redirect a lot of things. Obviously, I ended up at home and just, you know, made us think a lot about why we do the music in the first place, and still trying to gain our strides back from, you know, the loss of that 2 years. It was also when The Return just came out, and, you know, The Return was doing what it was doing, and then it was like everything canceled. But luckily, you know, we got to get Coachella back. We got to do a tour again, and we're slowly trying to gain our bearings, you know, once more.
Can you talk a bit briefly about how Coachella was? It's such a moment in every musician's life. What was that set like? Those sets, plural.
First of all, I didn't think I was going to do it again. Just because when it was canceled, I was like, okay, I guess in 2 years, you know, there'll be someone else. But I was really excited to be able to do it again, and also to be able to do it with our band from home. Again, couldn't get back to Australia, so couldn't play with my band from Australia. But luckily enough, we were able to find a lot of amazing musicians in Zambia. And the band that I'm currently touring with is just wild. And to be able to experience Coachella together, you know, first as the first Zambians to do Coachella, which is something else, but just to be able to bring our music and our culture to, you know, a stage that, one, is huge, and two, that was appreciated, and to have people sing back and rap back was, it was fulfilling, you know. Those are moments that you hold forever, to be able to impact people in that way and have them sing your music back is something that I don't take for granted. It was beautiful. I really, it's one of those moments that is stamped in the memory.
In the memory. It was wonderful to watch from here in Australia as well, to see you in full flight on that stage. It was incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on The Tuck Shop. We're such massive fans. We're so incredibly ecstatic that you're going to be bringing the show to Vivid. We're just so excited.
Thank you so, so much for having me. I'm excited for this weekend. I'm happy that this is finally happening, and I'm, ready to share.
Everyone will be so excited in that room on Friday. I'll be there to soaking it up, and I'm sure you will be too. It'll just be fantastic. So, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.